Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom the Digital Architect Liebel. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Hey guys, today with me I have Zach Spuckler. He is the founder of Heart, Soul, and Hustle. Seems like a FBX company. Hey Zach.
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
You know, when I seen Heart, Soul, and Hustle, like when I first glimpsed at it, I was like, this guy probably had an R&B band. It didn't work out. Now it's FB ads.
Yeah, our focus is a little more on Facebook ads.
Why did you come up with that name? That's got nothing to do with Facebook.
Yeah, so the name kind of came from this idea that with enough heart and soul and a little bit of hustle, you can achieve anything that you want in your business.
Got you. It's a bit of a stretch with Facebook ads, but okay. The good thing is, if the Facebook ads don't work out, you can switch that pretty easily to something else.
Yeah, and we talk about Facebook ads a lot, but we also talk about digital marketing as a whole and a little bit with launching. So it gives us a nice holistic brand that we can talk a little bit in a broader sense about marketing too.
Have you been watching the Mark hearings? Because that's pretty much the base of your business, right?
Say that again. Oh, the Mark Zuckerberg hearings. Yeah. You know, I've seen a little bit of it, but I haven't been too sucked into it. I try not to get too sucked into the news. And so I haven't been too stressed about it. I've looked a little bit into the Cambridge privacy scandal and read up a little bit on it. But it's something that I don't give too much attention to because it's more of a stress than anything, I think.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it changing much in the business, but it's still, you know, it's entertaining, that's for sure. I haven't watched anything but the snippets, and half of that is probably engineered too, right? Because it's super funny. Like, I can't believe they're asking it, so I'm not sure if it's real.
Oh, yeah. I feel the same way about some of the snippets I've seen.
So with the Facebook ads, like, what's your 80-20? What do you focus on the most?
Yeah. So when it comes to Facebook ads, I mean, my biggest focus is on testing. You know, it's really easy to get sucked in and think like you're going to run an ad and get really great results right off the bat. But what we find is that one of the best ways to actually get a good ROI with your Facebook ads is to actually be testing them on a regular basis. So one of the biggest things that we test out is copy and images. We're always testing out new copy and new images to find out what's going to actually convert with our audience. So I would say the majority of the time is spent either in the creation of actual like creative or new copy or in the actual testing phase.
You didn't mention video. I find video works much better than images these days.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because we hear that a lot from people is like, well, is video working better than images? And my response is always, you know, you got to be testing it. We've done campaigns where our video ads way outperform our images. And then we've also done campaigns where our images way outperform our videos. So it all comes back to the basic tenet of you've really got to be testing to figure out what's going to work.
That's interesting because with all the clients we've done, the videos are cheaper 90% of the time.
Yeah. And we, like I said, we do find that they're cheaper sometimes, but you know, sometimes you're in that 10% and it all comes down to testing what works. We found that live video ads work really well as well. So we've tested out a lot of video ads and actually creating warm audiences as a result of people engaging with our videos. And we find that those convert really well, sometimes on video, sometimes on just plain text as well.
What do you mean by live video ads?
Yeah, so we take live videos that we do either on our page and we take them and we boost them as opposed to colder audiences. So when I say boost, I don't mean using the boost button. I mean actually using the Power Editor, which is now just the Ads Manager because Facebook has merged the two, but using the Ads Manager to actually take that piece of content and push it out to cold audiences. And then Facebook will allow you to actually build an audience off of those that you can run advertisements to. So we can take a live video, let's say where I'm talking about Facebook ads for 5 to 10 minutes. boost it to an audience of people who aren't familiar with myself or my brand, and then take another ad and retarget people that actually engage with that content.
What sort of live videos would you put up there?
Normally, we focused on informational or edutainment-based videos. So, you know, educational and entertaining at the same time. I'll be totally honest. We don't do a ton of, like, polished video. It's something that we're working on getting more of. But the majority of what we do is live video, where it's just face to camera, a little bit of content. And the nice thing about that is people who are engaging with that tend to care about the content. So you tend to get better quality retargeting audiences.
How long are these videos?
Yeah, the videos, it kind of depends how long we go with them, but I would say anything between 5 and 15 minutes is a great starting point.
Interesting. I see 5 to 15 minutes work really good on YouTube.
Yeah, you know, I don't do a ton with YouTube, to be totally honest. But what we found is that 5 to 15 minutes is kind of a good length of time to actually get people engaging. Now, the flip side of that is when you actually go to run the retargeting audience, you're going to be able to, again, test out different variations. So Facebook will allow you to test people who have watched 3 seconds, 25%, 50%, 75%, and 95% of your video. So once you run a short video, whether it be 5, 10, 15 minutes, you can actually build out multiple retargeting audiences to test which one is going to do the best.
Are you adding subtitles to any of these videos?
Yeah, we do add subtitles when we want to run it as a Facebook ad. We don't always add subtitles, though it's something we should be doing, if I'm being completely honest. Subtitles are a great thing to add to your live video, but they do require a little bit of additional time and energy. There's a couple of different ways you can add them, but adding subtitles is definitely a huge benefit because most people are using Facebook via their mobile device, and it doesn't necessarily populate sound when they see your video. So by having those subtitles, they're able to engage with your content whether they have audio turned on or not.
Yeah, when you're running these ads, what's a typical budget for testing and how do you split that budget around?
Yeah, so you've probably heard it before, but $5 a day is a great starting point. But the way we say is for every audience you're testing, you want to start at least $5 to $10 per day. And you want to spread that across multiple audiences. So when we start our testing, what we do is we choose a multitude of different audiences and we test them with multiple copy and multiple images. So let's say I'm going to target, let's say, listeners of this show. I would spend $5 per day starting to target listeners of this show as one ad set, and then I may have one or two variations within the ad levels. So I've got one or two different ads within one ad set targeting this show at about $5 a day. I'll let it run between 24 and 48 hours. And after that period of time, I'll evaluate the results and either start the scaling process, or if they're not converting, I'll turn them off.
That's a very small sample.
Yeah, it is. And we start with a small sample because most of our audience is of the beginner. You can absolutely start with a larger amount of money, but generally speaking, or at least my opinion is kind of, if you're going to start with a larger budget, there's nothing wrong with that. I wouldn't go much more than $20 to $30 a day. But we also tend to start with a higher budget when we're using past proven converting audiences.
Yeah, the only reason I said that is, you know, because if you're spending 10 bucks over 2 days, just from what I'm seeing, that could just be a fluke, right? You might be getting lucky and got a sale or two, or you might be in that really unlucky phase and got nothing, right? Where in the next 3-4 days, you could have got a lot. You know, it's just, I feel it's like such a small sample. You know, I always feel like between, I don't know, $100 spent to, I mean, 1,000 is better. That's how you see the real audience, how it reacts. You know, over time, you can get a good average.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, it really comes down to the fact that the audience we work with tends to be beginners and people getting started. So it is a smaller sample size and it is going to give you smaller numbers, but it's a great starting point for people who are starting to dip their toe into the water of advertising.
So you just mentioned that you work only with beginners or mostly beginners. What sort of businesses are these?
Yeah, most of the businesses that we work with are running digital-based businesses. So they're selling information products, they're selling ebooks. We work with a lot of like bloggers or people that are doing, you know, webinars, that type of thing. So we tend to work with people who are online digital-based businesses as part of our kind of core client base.
So is it a fee type work or are you doing revenue share?
Nope, we actually don't manage ads for people. We have an ads education business. So we have a digital course that walks people through how to get started with their own Facebook ads.
Interesting. So you're not actually a company helping them manage this stuff. It's more of a teaching
thing.
No,
we don't do the management. And when I got started, I did the management for a little while. And what we found was because of the audience I was serving, which was people starting to dip their toe in the water of advertising, that they didn't have as much to spend on both the management fee and the actual ads themselves. So we found the solution was, you know, both the benefit of a leverageable, scalable offer was a huge benefit for the company, but also a huge benefit for our audience because it allowed them to kind of get their feet wet and really start to learn Facebook advertising. Because what we find is like, look, outsourcing Facebook ads is great. We actually work with a Facebook ads manager for our ads as well. And it's great to be able to outsource it, but there's kind of this huge barrier that people go through, which is they want to outsource their Facebook ads, but the problem is they don't actually understand the fundamentals of outsourcing their Facebook ads. They don't understand the fundamentals of Facebook ads themselves. And so by kind of empowering people with the information, we find that some people go on to run their own ads and do really well with them. And some people are able to hire a Facebook ads management company or person and have a really high level conversation about their management themselves, which gives them better advertising results.
So this course that you're selling, do you have any community too, where you help people with questions, or are they pretty much on their own once they get the course?
Yeah, we have the way we use it is we actually have we have a membership portal where people can go in and actually ask questions, and we come in on a regular basis and answer them. But we've been running the course long enough now that we actually, interestingly enough, don't get a ton of questions because we've really flushed it out to a system that works pretty well for people.
How do you market that course?
Right now, we market it a couple of different ways. We do live launches of that course from time to time, but we also have kind of a passive sales funnel that we use when we're not launching to kind of promote that course as well.
Can you walk us through that funnel?
Yeah, we have a couple of different funnels that we use for it, but the biggest one we use is a 5-day mini course where we walk people through setting up their first Facebook ad in about 5 days. We send them one short video every day for 5 days. And then we follow up with them with a paid offer for the course itself. So it's pretty simple in that it's effective and short, but it's also really effective in that, you know, when we run an email funnel or a marketing campaign, we really want people to get a sense of the results they're going to get before they have to invest. So it's really nice in that it also gives them a sense of accomplishment and shows them like, look, you have the ability to run Facebook ads yourself.
So are you mostly targeting cold traffic on Facebook with this 5-video mini course?
Yeah, we target cold traffic, and then we're also targeting some warm traffic as well. Like I said, we're starting some testing now with leveraging live videos where we talk about something like Facebook ads and then retargeting that audience with some warmer ads.
You mentioned helping people promote webinars. Do you have any tips? Because I know that's a hot thing right now. So do you have any tips for that type of marketing, like what to do differently?
Yeah, I mean, for webinars, the biggest thing right now is that we're seeing an increase in the cost for webinar registration. And I don't know if you're seeing this same thing, but you know, maybe over the past 6 to 12 months, the cost to get someone on a webinar has just gone up a little bit. And there's a couple of different ways that you can kind of quote unquote get around this. And the first one is, you know, doing a little bit of warm up before you go into a webinar, which can be any number of content, whether it's videos or images or blog posts, kind of building up an audience of people that engage with your content before you go to promote your webinar is a huge way to lower your costs. The second thing is what I was saying earlier, which is constantly be testing different variations. I have friends that are running webinar ads that are paying, you know, $8 to $10 a lead, And I have friends that are running webinar ads that are paying a couple of dollars a lead. And what it really comes down to is they're testing different things. They're testing video, they're testing stills, they're testing warm and cold audiences. So if you can kind of get those things together, a combination of building up warm audiences with a combination of really good testing, you can start to get better results with your webinar ads.
Yeah, it really depends what the people do too, right? So are they teaching something on the webinar? Are they selling something on the webinar? Is it a easy entry product? Is it a complicated sale? I mean, there's a lot of variations. So the cost could be a part of that too.
Absolutely.
What's the 80-20 in your own business when it comes to testing, other than variations and images? Like, what are you looking for? Are you changing headlines? Are you really into, what part of the copy?
Yeah, I'm personally really big on testing the copy side of things, like the actual text that goes into the body of the message.
Right.
There's definitely something to be said for testing different headlines. We test a couple of different headlines, but I tend to settle on a headline pretty quickly because I've done some study of copywriting, and I think that writing the headline can be one of the easier parts, though I'm sure some people would disagree with that. I think that writing the headline is pretty straightforward because we like to do, you know, something that's call to action based and pretty straightforward through what people are clicking. So our goal is to get people to stop scrolling and actually read the copy that we've presented. So the mass majority of the testing that we do is the copy and changing the copy. And we always have two different images that we test. So we test, generally speaking, not always, but generally speaking, when we're promoting a webinar, we test a piece of copy and image that includes a picture of myself. And then we also test a copy and an image that has nothing to do with me or is like a mock-up of a webinar or is like a visually appealing, so to speak, image.
Interesting. What do you do when one of the people taking the course says that their relevance score is super low, right? So like a 4 out of 10, and that's usually based on the copy. What would you tell them right then?
Yeah, so when people are struggling with the relevance score, we actually have a troubleshooting guide that we kind of walk people through to figure out exactly what's not working with the advertisement. But if your relevance score is low, there's a number of different factors that go into that. And generally speaking, it has to do with one of two things. Either people are reporting your ad, meaning they're seeing it somewhere that they don't want to see it, or they're hiding your ad, which can really lower your relevance score, or it's been running and it's not getting a lot of engagement. So we ask them, is your copy actually engaging with people? You know, are you actually getting people engaged in the process? And I don't mean that in like a, you know, are you saying click here to like my post, because you don't want to be engagement baiting. But if you have copy that says, hey, I've got a webinar, click here to sign up, and it's pretty cut and dry like that, people don't engage with that type of content. So we tell them, take a look at your copy and figure out, you know, can you be more engaging somewhere? And we actually, within the course, kind of walk people through how to write compelling copy. So we don't tend to run into too many issues with that, though most people do struggle with relevance scores. So we say it's either that, the copy, or sometimes it also comes down to the targeting. So when you're looking at your relevance score, the nice thing about split testing a number of different audiences is that if you got a really high relevance score with one audience, that can help you see, like, is it my copy? Is it my positioning? Is it my targeting? And you can kind of go from there.
Do you have a formula for writing ads? Something that you sort of template out?
Yeah, we do have a little bit of a template, and it really is pretty straightforward and can be expanded on, but it's pretty much a call out, you know, are you a insert here? Now you have to be careful with that because you can't say, are you a man? Are you a woman? You can't use demographic information with Facebook, but I can say, like, you know, are you looking to run webinars, right? That's a really simplistic example, but I could say, like, are you looking to run webinars, right? So I like to start with a call out of some kind, an identifier, a way that someone can relate with the piece of copy and they know, like, oh, this is for me. I should stop here and read this. Followed by some type of explanation about what they're going to sign up for. Like, perfect, I've got this great webinar for you that's going to walk you through step by step how to, you know, map out your own webinar. And then a call to action of, you know, click here to save your spot, click below to save your spot. So it's a call out, copy, and call to action.
You know, the one thing I found with ads is that, you know, I insert a lot of links, you know, in the copy itself. people click on those much more than the buttons. Have you seen one type of button work better than another, like when it comes to the text on it?
In my experience, and it varies from person to person, because I'll be completely honest, we don't test this too much. Uh-huh. But we use the Learn More, and we found that the Learn More tends to work best when we're in the opt-in phase, or a phase where we're trying to generate leads, and the sign up works better when we're trying to close sales. Because again, we have a digital product, so they're signing up for it. Or like if you were, say, in the e-com space and you're going right for the purchase, we would recommend the buy now. So we tend to see that like the Learn More works great when you're in that ramp up or lead generation phase, and the sign up or buy now tends to work better at the purchase phase.
Cool. Yeah. I have just been seeing that the number of links people click onto the buttons it's insane. It's like an 80-20, like seriously.
Yeah.
And we've been thinking about even just running it with no buttons just to see what's the point. Nobody really clicks on them anymore.
Yeah, we've done some testing without the buttons, and in my experience, what's worked the best with those is when we're sending to people to a piece of content, like either a blog post or you know, something where we're just trying to build a pixel up or a warm pixel, versus when we're trying to get them to opt in for something. We found that it works really well to not have a button.
What's your experience with the ones where Facebook runs them, right? So like the surveys or the opt-ins where Facebook takes care of everything. There's not really any copy. They keep everything in their system, and then you can just download all that info into yours.
We don't use it too much, and to be completely honest, it's because we like building up our warm pixels. So it's great that Facebook houses all that data, but it's not all data that we can use. Like, yeah, we can use the engagement audience, but we like actually being able to collect the leads directly to our own system. So we don't do a ton with Facebook hosting or holding on to the content. We prefer to drive people to our websites, to our landing pages, where we're getting that pixel data, and we're actually collecting the leads directly to our system.
Yeah, so you're pretty much in the same train of thought as me. I always feel it's overcomplicated to set those up. And then since you can't really put the links in your copy like normally, I feel those buttons are just going to kill conversions.
Absolutely.
Very cool. All right, Zach, I thank you for coming on. Where can people find you?
Yeah, if you want to learn more, you can head over to heartsoulhustle.com, and we've got all the information there on Facebook ads. We've got our mini course listed there, and you can check it out.
Very cool.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect, Lee Bell. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.